All right, ladies, let's be real. Who here actually enjoys shaving their legs? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought so. And get this, Nair, yes, Nair, the OG that I used for years, has now leveled up. And they have these new sensational shower creams and body creams that smell amazing. My personal favorite, coconut oil and vitamin E because it's gentle on my skin. And down to that body cream scent, baby, rich cocoa butter and vitamin E. A modern take on indulgent and classic femininity. Smell for yourself. Try the reformulated Nair body and shower creams available at retailers nationwide and online.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Purchasing this home was not about flossing. It was about legacy.
Dead ass.
Yes.
That's a good one. Well, if I tell y'all the number of times I've cried during this process, there's been an array of emotions. Mostly good ones, though. Dead ass.
Dead ass.
Hey, I'm Kadeen.
And I'm DeVal.
And we're the Ellises.
You may know us from posting funny videos with our boys.
And reading each other publicly as a form of therapy.
Wait, I make you need therapy?
Most days.
Wow.
Oh, and one more important thing to mention, we're married.
Yes, sir, we are. We created this podcast to open dialogue about some of life's most taboo topics.
Things most folks don't want to talk about.
Through the lens of a millennial married couple. Deadass is a term that we say every day. So when we say deadass, we're actually saying facts. 100. The truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. We about to take pillow talk to a whole new level.
Deadass starts right now.
Talk about divine intervention.
All right now.
Real quick, okay? Let me take y'all back to about 2015.
Okay.
Kadeen and I had a tax guy, right? The tax guy was doing our taxes. Everything was going well. I wasn't doing TV as much. I was doing commercials. I still owned some other properties. Dean was doing makeup. Dean was doing some wholesale. So we had a lot of things going on. 2016 happens. Trump wins the presidency. I think 2017, the government shuts down, right? I think that's when we had the government shut down.
Yeah, more or less.
Yes. I'm just giving you a little timeline. 2018, we go to... Let's start the home buying process.
Trying to decide where we're
going
to settle.
Trying to figure it out, right?
Yeah, preparing.
A tax guy says, well, I got to catch you guys up on taxes with the, you know, with the government being shut down. We don't have any of your taxes prepared. So I'm like, hey, I'm not looking to buy a home right now, but let's make sure we have that in the back pocket when it's ready. 2019 happens. Kadeen and I are ready to move to LA in order to even rent a property. They want to see your tax statements. right? Mm-hmm. This is 2019.
That's where the tears started.
2019. I go to my tax guy. I said, hey, I need my last 2 years tax returns. Can I get those tax returns so I can apply for this property? Don't hear from my tax guy. Mm-hmm. Now I'm nervous, right? I'm able to use my bank statements because Kadeen and I do well enough to prove that we have money in the bank. So I'm able to rent the property, not work, focus on it. Eventually, my tax guy will get around to me. It's 2020. Now it's 2020. Kadeen and I are actively looking to purchase a home to build a legacy for ourselves and our three boys. I say, hey, tax guy, I need those tax documents. Don't hear back from them. Start doing my own research. Go on IRS.com. My taxes have not been filed since 2015. What? Tight. So now, got a new tax guy, black man. My financial advisor, black man, walks me through the process of focusing on getting my taxes and everything squared away.
Major mess.
Major
cleanup.
Major mess and cleanup, right? Long story short with that, had to pay some penalties, of course, because you're late. Had to pay taxes for the past previous 5 years. Good thing Kadeen and I have been doing well enough. And we were saving because we always save money to pay our taxes. Mm-hmm. So we paid all of our taxes and everything, right? But the issue was we did not have our 2019 taxes ready to purchase the home that Kadeen wanted to look at in July. So Kadeen was very, very disappointed.
Womp, womp.
Very, very, she was, I can't believe this is the house. I can't believe it. I didn't
really cry. I wasn't at tears, but I was near tears.
She was near tears, but she was pissed.
I was at the tremble, you know, the tremble in your voice that you get.
She definitely had the tremble in her voice.
I had the tremble in my voice, yep.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Fast forward to last October. Mm-hmm. Dean comes to visit me while I'm filming Bigger. And she said, hey, there's some houses here that are open up. My taxes still aren't done for 2019 and 2020. Mm-hmm. She says, I want to just go take a look at them. Traditionally, the type of house we were looking at, they won't even let you in the door unless you have a pre-approval letter and your taxes done. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, if you can get us to go see a house, let's go look at a house. She calls me. She says, hey, I'll be there Tuesday. They have available on Wednesday. I film on Wednesday. I don't know when I'm going to be done. I happen to get done early on that Wednesday. Get out. She's like, babe, you got to come see this house. I rush over here. I get here. The minute I walk in the door, Kadeen is looking at me with that face. So I know what that means already. I'm like, this must be the house. This must be the house. So we walk through the house. And
what did you think?
I fell in love with the house. I'm not going to lie. I fell in love. But in my defense, I was thinking, we're never going to be able to get this house because houses like this don't stay on the market for too long.
I will say, though, I went in the house knowing that we may not be able to get it, but at least I wanted to see what was out there, right?
Right.
Okay.
I said, okay, just know that we don't have our taxes done for 2019 and 20, and we don't have a pre-approval letter, so we can just go look and see if this is something that's in the, you know, the realm of what we want.
To giving our realtor, this is what we're looking for kind of vibe.
By the end of looking through the house, Kadeen says, baby, I want this house. I say, okay, let me see what I can do. I go back to the car. I get a text message from my financial advisor. Hey, your 2019 taxes are complete.
God.
I'm like, are you serious? He's just like, yes, it's complete. I said, I'm glad that you say that because
I'm literally standing
in the house that I want to buy.
The driveway of the house we want.
And then he's just like, are you serious? I said, yes. He said, you know, is this the house? I said, yes. He said, because I could have a pre-approval letter for you tomorrow. I was like, you got to be kidding me, Sean.
I fainted.
I was like, Sean, you have to be kidding me. He was just like, no, I could have that for you tomorrow if this is what you want to do. I said, can you get the pre-approval? Because we would like to make an offer on the house tomorrow if possible. Wake up the next morning, get an email, pre-approval letter that covers the cost of the house.
We sit down
with our realtor, Arian. Shout out to Arian Ellsbury.
Mm-hmm.
Arian. My bad.
Put some respect on the Arian.
Arian. She got like accents and stuff on her name?
No, but it's implied.
Arian. Shout out to Arian Ellsbury, our realtor. She said, we're going to put in an offer, but you never know with things like this mm-hmm. because, you know, someone
and
else
the house
put in
had gotten a ton of offers apparently the weekend before.
So Arian created this great letter for us encompassing everything that we wanted to do as a family. She puts in the offer on Thursday.
Your days are a little off, but it's all right. I'm gonna let you rock.
We put in the I'm the best storyteller here.
Yeah, your days are off, but I got it.
She put in the offer on Thursday. We wake up Friday morning to an approval and an acceptance of the offer. And I was like, baby, we're gonna get this house. And the funny thing is that's when the journey started. And that was not the easiest journey that we have spent purchasing a home. And this is our third home that we purchased.
Right. So after this story time, we're gonna jump into karaoke.
We're gonna jump into karaoke.
We can jump into the real process.
We're gonna have to tell y'all how that process
went. The real,
went.
Real.
Dead ass.
Where the money reside. Where the money reside. And that's the whole song. And that's all Mary Had a Little Lamb. All I know is Where the Money Resides and then Mary Had a Little Lamb. And that's about it.
I can tell you where the money don't reside. And that's in our bank account
anymore.
The money
sure as hell ain't there no more. Okay. They got us for all the coins.
Houses be expensive.
But.
Yes.
The house is expensive.
Yes.
But the legacy is priceless almost. Yes. Right?
Yes. The legacy is definitely priceless.
There's prices and coins that go with legacies. However, it's what it meant for us to be able to finally purchase a home that's going to be home base for us where we plan on raising our boys. I mean, let me tell y'all, I've had moments where I'm just like envisioning, before we even got to the house and before we moved in, I had moments where I was envisioning like Jackson on the lawn, like going to prom and like, stuff like that.
Right.
You know what I mean? And I just finally feel like we have home base. For so many years, we were debating on where we were going to move to, where our careers were going to take us. And I think the one thing that we were able to discover during the lockdown, the pandemic, everything that's been happening around us is that we were able to kind of maneuver and work from home. We didn't necessarily have to be in a particular city or state to work. And then being booked for acting gigs and things like that then would require travel.
Right.
But we wanted somewhere for the boys to be grounded.
Yes.
And here we are in Georgia.
Yes, in Georgia.
Yeah.
Enjoying it. Enjoying Georgia.
So far, so good.
But I will say this, though, to anyone looking to purchase a home, do not wake up one morning and think, do not wake up one morning and think that you just like, you know what? I'm going to just go buy a house soon. It is a long process, and you have to be prepared from 18 months prior. Have all of your ducks in order.
Right.
Because my two least favorite words right now in the universe is underwriters. I fucking hate underwriters, yo. I hate them. They comb through our life.
For
sure. Like the FBI.
Well, there's a nitpickiness that goes with black home ownership.
Absolutely.
Call it what it is.
Well, let's
So let's go. Let's start with this.
You know, we're gonna give you some percentages.
The importance of home ownership changes from generation to generation, and that's fair to say, right?
Yes.
But what we know is that home ownership is one of the best ways to change the trajectory of your family's wealth.
Yes.
And as a black family, owning a home is powerful enough to change the future of the culture.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
So that started, or you can jump into your stats actually, and you can circle back.
Let's get into some of these stats, right? Creating a new legacy for black home ownership, right? Mm-hmm. In the first quarter of 2020, 44% of black families owned their home compared to 73.7% of white families. According to the Census Bureau, the gap is wider in some cities, with just 25% of black families owning a home in Minneapolis compared with 76% of whites, which is the widest gap in the United States cities with more than 1 million residents. A study by Redfin Real Estate Brokerage found in D.C., 51% of black households are homeowners, with the highest rate in the country, but far lower than the 70% of white households that are homeowners. Mm-hmm. Now here, these numbers I'm about to give you right now are very, very important. According to a recent study from LendingTree, black home buyers are denied mortgages 12.64% of the time. The overall mortgage denial rate is 6.15%.
Okay, double.
So we double that.
Okay.
All right, state by state, neighborhood by neighborhood, black families pay 13% more in property taxes each year than a white family would in the same situation. Explain that, because our schooling situation is far worse than any other demographic, but we pay more in property taxes when property taxes typically cover the schooling and roads and stuff like that.
Absolutely. The home ownership gap between blacks and whites is larger today than it was in 1934. Think about that.
Yes.
Just in terms of like what's being passed down, generational wealth, which is when the Federal Housing Administration, the FHA, was established, says Donnell Williams, president of the National Association.
Let me give a little context about that, right?
Okay.
The FHA was established after the Great Depression.
Yes.
Right? So there was a housing shortage. Mm-hmm. And FDR decided that we needed to create more houses for middle class families, especially coming after the war. Mm-hmm. So the FHA was created and they started to develop all of these houses for suburban areas. This is the crazy part about the FHA. The government then gave subsidies to contractors who built homes for white homeowners, but said you can only get the subsidies as contractors if you decide, if you agree not to sell to black families. So think about that. That's where redlining started.
All right, now.
So you built all of these homes and you said anybody can own these homes except for black people. And what do you think happened to those people who own those homes? Those homes accrued wealth. They've been graded greater value over years because of property value. Mm-hmm. And they passed those properties down to their families. What do you think happened to the black families who couldn't purchase homes? They went, built their own homes in neighborhoods like Tulsa, Oklahoma, mm-hmm. Roswell, Orangeburg, South Carolina, which ultimately were destroyed.
Burned down.
Burned down. And they weren't covered by insurances. You want to know why? The government also said that we're not going to insure black homes. This is a fact. This is not something I'm making up. Insurance companies and the government did not mandate for black homes to be insured, even if they were close to white communities. So now, even if you took your money and you built a home and you built land and you built neighborhoods, when they were torn down or they were burned down or bombed, they were left disintegrated with nothing. You got nothing from it.
Nothing from it. We're starting from scratch.
So when people ask why the wealth gap is so huge in this country, that's a huge part of the reason why.
For sure. And it says today, black homeowners are 5 times as likely to own in a formerly redlined neighborhood than a greenlined one.
Yes.
That's interesting.
So what people need to understand about redlining is that redlining is a map that creates a space where these property values are given less value. Mm-hmm. So black families, obviously, black families in black neighborhoods were given less value mm-hmm. because their homes were considered less. But also, if they did get insurance, their insurance payments, and this is still happening till today,
higher.
Are way higher.
Absolutely.
And we had now President Joe Biden on our podcast to confirm that very fact. Mm-hmm. That if he, as a president of the United States, owned a home identical to ours
yep.
in the same neighborhood, they would insure his home at a lower rate than it would insure Kadeem and mine.
And our property taxes would be more.
So, and this is
simultaneously.
And especially with redlining, that's just how things worked. And that was a way for them to continue to marginalize black families and black culture.
Absolutely.
And which leads us to why
closing on this home was so important
for us. And why I said
with the boys.
It was a legacy move, mm-hmm. not a stunt move.
Right, for sure.
You know, because one thing I also know about owning a property is that if you own a property large enough where your children can not only grow here, but also raise their families, you're keeping so much money in your house. I'm gonna do a little bit of math for you. And
DeVal's like a human calculator. So let me sit back and listen.
Be ready for this.
I'm ready for you.
Remember when I bought my car, mm-hmm. my Audi A7?
Yes.
The payment was $1,000 a month. Mm-hmm. Plus insurance and gas was $500 a month.
Was it?
Yes. So that's $1,500 a month. That's uh-huh. $18,000 a year I was spending on that damn car. Right? I had that car for a 3-year lease. Mm-hmm. 18 times 3 is $54,000 I spent on that car, right? All that money is gone. Double that because of the rent. $1,500 a month in rent. That's $108,000 over 3 years that went to someone else other than my family. You see what I'm saying? $108,000 in 3 years that I'm never going to get back. Mm-hmm. And I started to realize if I have a home where my sons, when they're trying to figure out life, mm-hmm. when they're in their early 20s to late 20s, early 30s, and they're trying to figure out what they want to do with their life, if they can stay in a different part of the house and still feel like an adult and not have to pay rent to someone else, mm-hmm. but stay here and figure their life out, that $108,000 could be where? In their pocket.
But you know what's funny? It's opposite what we're taught or what the black community has tend to have done over the years.
Absolutely. Is,
okay, you can work now, starting even before you're 18, and you can move out and be technically an adult,
yes.
according to the government. Yes. But as early as you can be out there working, we're putting our kids to work.
Absolutely.
Because we want them to be able to contribute to the household, to be able to help. Or at 18, you're now an adult. You can be on your own. And then also, too, there's kind of like this feeling when you turn 18, like, shoot, I am an adult. I want to be out
there. Oh, yeah.
Meanwhile, I was ready to come back home several times after that. So if we can create an environment, like you said, or a space where our children can then feel comfortable coming back home and knowing that they have a little piece of, you know, their own little privacy, if you will, as an adult, to be able to work or to explore or to be in school and know that they have the comfort of not having to worry about paying bills right away.
Right. But
and that in itself helps.
But that's only the first part, though. The fact that they don't have to pay rent to someone else is the first part. Mm-hmm. When we own this home outright and we move on and pass away, our kids then own this property.
Absolutely.
And now have equity in something that they can call their own. Mm-hmm. And that's when you pass things down like that. That's how you start to accrue generational wealth.
Right.
And now my son is not coming into the world with debt. With most black people come into the world with debt. For example, I'm not even going to say no names or who it is, but I have friends who graduated from college and moms and dads were just like, yo, you got to take over this credit card bill. And it's just like, I just graduated from college and you gave me a $15,000 credit card bill that was in my name and I had no idea.
So that's putting your kids on name your credit card. On things, on credit cards, not to build credit, because there's a science to that where you can put your child on as an authorized user on your credit card. And then by the time they're 18, their credit score can be in the 800s.
Right.
If you're taking care of that bill.
There's a science to it.
There's that side of things versus debt that's in their name and then you're passing it on.
Because a lot of times, you know, parents find themselves in a financial hardship and they're like, I need another line of credit.
Right.
Let me open up this line of credit in my child's name.
Which is kind of understandable too.
Because, yeah, when you're trying to understand, when you're living in a capitalist country where you're trying to make ends meet and things happen, you know, let me open up another line of credit in my child's name. And then you say to yourself, I'm going to pay it off. Mm-hmm. And then ultimately, you know, you start, if you have bad spending habits or you're not sure what the interest rate is going to be and you think you're making payments, but the payment isn't enough to bring down the actual totality of the loan and it's continuously going up, even though you're making payment, then you start to see, you know, 5-6. And that happened to us. Remember, in the end of my rookie year, not my rookie, the end of the year I retired, when we had that Citi card and I was like, babe, I'm gonna put you on the Citi card. You can use the card. But when you use the card, we got to make sure we pay it off.
Yep.
And we were making payments, but not realizing that those payments were going towards an interest rate that has skyrocketed up to, I think it was 22%. Mm-hmm. And then after a while, you know, I was like, babe, have you been looking at where the payments are going? You're like, not really. Mm-hmm. And you were making payments for about 2 years.
Right. Blindly just thinking like, okay, you hear pay it a never little went bit down. More than the minimum. Pay a little more than the minimum.
Right.
And then before you know it, you're only paying off interest.
And the principal never went down for years. So and it happens to people who are trying to be deliberate. So it's not like, other people are doing it and we're perfect at doing this, because we are examples of not being perfect at doing this. Mm-hmm. But to me, getting this property was a way, number one, to have a safe space for my kids and my wife to have autonomy over their life. You know, we see everything going on out here in the country where kids don't feel comfortable walking around their neighborhoods and they don't feel comfortable being able to play ball and do things at the park. Now my sons have an opportunity to do this in their backyard. Mm-hmm. You know, they have a basketball court in their backyard. Go in the backyard and play. Mm-hmm. You want to go to the pool? Go to the pool and play. You don't got to go anywhere else and ask anyone else permission to use theirs. Mm-hmm. You have your own. Mm-hmm. It also gives them a sense of ownership where they feel like they can do whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, I had my own pool growing up. I had my own basketball court. My dad and my mom provided that for me. So I can do whatever I want because I watched my mom and my dad. Mm-hmm. So there's
they want, meaning achieving things, not just doing whatever they want.
Yeah, because, as far as, but even,
clarify that.
But even in that, so many black people grow up in life feeling like I can't do what I want. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? My blackness is a prison.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Or I can't, I have to do what's necessary to make these ends meet.
Or I literally just can't do what I want. Right. If I'm walking in the street.
Right.
And a cop decides he wants to, you know, stop me, take my, you know, and wrestle me to the ground, I could lose my life.
Yeah.
If I don't answer the right way, I could lose my freedom. You know, you spend so much of your life as a black person feeling like you can't do what you want. This house was a way for me to show my children that, yes, you can.
Right.
This is your house. This is what you can do. And also empower them to think like that.
Right.
Because also slavery is a mentality. You know, if you constantly walk around thinking like I'm a slave, you're going to exist in this country as a slave. And we have so much more empowerment in this country now.
That's
if more black children lived like that.
Come and on, saw, Brother Bob.
You know how I get when I talk about this
Come
stuff.
Come on, right, Brother Bob. Emancipate yourself from mental slavery. None but ourselves can free our minds.
I knew you were going to take it back to Jamaica.
You know
I knew you were going to take it back to Jamaica. Yeah. Shout out Bob Marley. But
But no, you're absolutely right in that. And I mean, also too, I want to be able to teach our children a sense of pride in what they have, where they live, being able to take care of that. Because it's also too, we've spoken previously about dulling the silver spoon and creating adversity within their lives and stuff. You know, we as parents want our children to not have to struggle or not have to work as hard as we did. But we also too want them to appreciate what they have and the things that we're providing them and letting them know that we're trying to take this these certain stresses off of your life so that way you can invest time in the things that you want to do.
There you go.
You are able to use your abilities to really hone in on that. You know, you graduate from high school and you decide, you know what, mom, dad, I want to take a year to travel and kind of explore to figure out what it is I want to do. Like, you can do that because mom and dad have a space where you can then come back and then just know that once you've done that, we're going to want to know what's your game plan. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think that this was so important for us because those are some of the things that we were not afforded.
Right.
Although our parents did work super hard to provide the life for us that we were able to, you know, do the things that we wanted to and then some.
But I will say this. Our parents gave us a better version of the Black experience than they were given.
Oh, absolutely.
And I think that's what...
Absolutely.
I guess that's what generational wealth is as well. It's not so much about the finances, but it's also the information.
The information.
You know, I talked to your mom the other day, and she was, you know, telling me the stories about...
Shout out to you and Mimi's relationship.
Yes, me and Mimi have grown a lot over the years, right? We've grown a lot over the years. But she talked to me about coming from Jamaica and how, you know, it was hard for some people to have to come here, try to get a small piece of land or property here in the States, then send for their children. They spend years here building. Mm-hmm. But then in doing that, they were able to have their children come here, not have to pay rent. When they go to school and come back, everything happened within the house, so they can go out and buy another property. Mm-hmm. And then that property turns into two and three and four properties. And when I look at your family, your mom and dad did that. Your parents owned four houses.
Yeah, my parents moved up here from the islands, Jamaica and St. Vincent, and literally came up here with nothing. It was one of those things where it's like my grandmother sent my mom, who was the oldest girl, sent her away to America and was like, you know,
gotta
figure it out. Same thing kind of happened with my dad as well. He was, you know, the oldest boy, and it's just like, you got to go figure it out. And they did so well for themselves to the point where I really think about what they were able to pass down to my brother, my sister, and I coming here with literally nothing. Like, I hear the stories my mom tells sometimes about, you know, just trying to have a space to sleep in someone's home just to be able to go to school and work, and you know, having adversity in that, being locked out of people's homes, like, you know, and having to sleep outside, like,
yeah.
I really just look at my mom and dad with such admiration for the things that they've done to ensure that we now have a little bit of something that we went to school with no debt. You know what I mean?
So I was going to tell you not to cut you off, but think about what your parents did with property, right?
Yeah.
Your father never made more than $50,000 a year, right? But he bought four property. And the reason why I tell this story is because people think that it's outside of the realm of their possibility to own property, but it's not.
Yeah.
Your dad in the 80s, never made more than 45K, right? But able to buy, I think, purchased three homes at the time.
Well, yeah.
15-year mortgages.
Well, him and my mom. Him and your mom.
15-year mortgages, because your mom made really good money, though. Your mom made six figures during that time. Three mortgages, though, they had at one time. So think about three mortgages, 15-year mortgages. Your father ended up paying off those mortgages early, right? When it was time for you to go to school, he sold one of the properties to pay off your student loans. When the same thing for your brother.
I didn't really have student loans.
Because
like
of scholarships.
Because I had scholarships and stuff. But my brother and sister, you know, it just gave us flexibility. It gave us the ability to say, okay, can you graduate a school with no debt? Like, here's a car. Because, you know, we're able to do little things for you to make it that much easier
for you.
To then chase your dreams and do the things that you want to do, you know?
Right.
So I'm forever grateful to my parents for setting up that kind of lifestyle for me.
On top of that, when your parents transitioned, you and your brother and sister have seven figures of equity that you can split amongst the three of you for your next generation.
Absolutely.
So when it's time to, and the biggest part is when you do have that type of equity, right? Mm-hmm. Most people can't get a property because they don't have a down payment. Mm-hmm. You know, growing up in that, you know, that hamster wheel that is life, you spend every day trying to pay a bill that you can't save any money in order to get a down payment to own anything.
Yeah, that's major. So
once you own property, you always have a down payment to own more property.
Yes.
And I think that's the dopest thing about, you know, creating a legacy for your children through property and through land. And for me, this is what that was and what it is.
And when I think back now to the closing process for us and what the obstacles were that we had to face. Even like we said, you know, we were able to show our tax documents after a while. We had the down payment for the home, but there were still things that popped up, like they needed to verify this, or they needed extra of that, or they needed to dig more for this and comb through that. And shout out to Sean Freeman.
Sean Freeman, my financial advisor, my mentor, my big brother from Flatbush, who my father mentored, who walked us through this process.
Literally walked us through this process and said that we did not have to worry about anything. And Sean jokes that one of these days he's going to come out here
and tell us.
And he's going to tell us the full story about all the hoops, because there were hoops that we jumping had to through jump. That we did not even know we were jumping through. But he worked along with Mark, you know, our CPA, to make sure that everything was handled for us. So when we say it was a roller coaster of a journey, it definitely was. And I think about closing day and how Ariane made that special for us. And at first, I didn't understand at first why it was such a celebratory thing. Mm. You know, she was like, I'm pulling out all the stops. You guys are closing on your home. And I'm just like, this is something to celebrate, the fact that we're able to do that, you know, and just be able to create this life for our children. It just means that much more, you know. So to kind of give you guys just kind of like a 1-2 on advice, things that you should know when you are house hunting, closing on a home. Just in general, I know that different people are going to have different obstacles, but we can highlight maybe a couple things that are going to be helpful tips for people who are maybe in the process or looking to do that soon.
I do have a major tip for entrepreneurs, because not only us, but I have buddies who are trying to close on properties and running to the same hurdle, right? Because this class of Black entrepreneurship is the largest that has ever been in this country. But with that becomes a lot of different obstacles. So for example, underwriters love W-2s, right? Which means they want to see a consistent stream of income over a certain amount of time.
Right.
And what we ran into, even though Kadeen and I, you know, humble brag, but we made 7 figures last year, made that money on paper, they wanted to see a consistent stream of income over a year, even though we had the money in the bank. And I didn't understand why. And Sean told us it was because they want to see a consistent amount of money, because underwriters believe the money may stop.
That's true. I mean, I think that's fair.
And I think that that's fair.
You had a good year. Okay.
Right. But here's a way you get around that. If you own a business, right, what you do is you set up your corporation as an S Corp or an LLC, and you write yourself a salary, which shows a consistent stream of paychecks. You know what I'm saying? We have a partnership with Paychex where we write ourselves a salary now every single month, so that they can see a consistent W-2, so that when it comes time for us to purchase our next property, we don't have to run through the same thing. Mm-hmm. What I was doing, and this is important, what I was doing was writing us dividends. Mm-hmm. So every 3 months or every quarter, I would write Kadeen and I a fat check so that we can put in our savings account to show that we were making money. But they don't want to see dividends. Mm-hmm. They want to see a W-2. And it's important for people to know you have to show W-2s. You have to have a high credit score, which is in the mid-70s or higher. Because if it's mid 700s or higher, because if it's anywhere below that, then they start to get nervous.
Let me tell y'all, I was skating, all right? I was teetering. All right? Only because that credit score thing for me is a joke.
Yes.
But at the same time, I was like, all right, this is the game y'all want to play. Watch. Yes. So I had to maneuver some things, but your girl made it by a couple points. So.
And make sure you have a down payment that is not going to affect your mortgage. So, for example, so many people say, hey, I'm looking to get into a program where I only have to put down 5%, which is fine. You can get into a program. But when you look at the interest rate and how low the interest rate is now, I think the interest rate right now is the lowest it's ever been in history, is below 1%. But if you don't put down that 20%, that interest rate can bubble up to 4 or 5%. Mm. And what people don't realize is that they're going to get their money either way. So either you're going to put the money up front and have a low interest rate over 30 years, or you're going to put down a low deposit and have a high interest rate over 30 years, which is going to cost you more money in the long term.
Right.
So when you're deciding that you want to buy a home, remember 20% is the standard. That's what most banks are looking for, underwriters. So 20% for people, if you're looking at $1 million home, then you're looking at $200,000. No, you're looking at a $500,000 home, you're looking at $100,000. So, and that is not, you know, a small amount of money for people right now, especially during a recession and during a pandemic. So you have to think about how much of the money you want to save. And also, they want to see bank statements even after you put down the deposit. So it's like you put down the 500K or you put down the 200 or 100K. They want to see that you still have money in the bank to sustain that mortgage.
Or does the money not reside anymore?
And also,
and that's a very true thing.
They're going to ask for all of these things 2 months out. You're going to provide it. A month out, they're going to ask for it again. And then a week before, they're going to ask for it again. So make sure
that you, if you borrowed any of that money that's in the account.
Absolutely. And it's important for people. It's important for people to know that, because remember, I sold two houses and we ran into this with the other people that sold the house.
Yep.
I guess they borrowed money. They put money in their account. They showed that they had it. They got a pre-approval letter. They asked for it again to show it, and they couldn't show the money in the account, and we couldn't close. So these are things that people need to understand when it comes time to close on a home.
Yeah.
You have to be able to show these documents and be prepared up until the day you sign that paper. Because once you sign that paper, you good. But if you haven't signed it yet, they can pull it at any point.
That's a fact. So I love that you knew all these other things, because let me tell you, DeVal tried to shelter me from some of these stresses.
You were stressed.
Between him and Sean, I was just like, guys, I just can't. I'm going to sit over here while y'all just let me know how it goes.
Well, we're a team, right?
For sure.
I shelter you from that. You shelter me from the moving process.
That's
two times we moved across country and I wasn't there. Well, let me hit you with the right.
Look
right.
at you. Don't disrespect me. You better make sure you get me with the right and not the left.
Gotta hit you with the right, baby.
Let me find out you're the budgetista. Did y'all hear all that?
Shout out to Tiffany. I am nowhere near as good as Tiffany. Tiffany is the bomb. We're going to have you back on, Tiffany.
Tiffany's going to be here every season. She's like a staple. She's like a resident.
Yes. Every episode, she has to come on.
Every
season just to talk to us about finances. And shout out to our team, because we bought our home from a black family. Their realtor was a black woman. Their attorney was a black woman.
Absolutely.
Our CPA was a black man.
Absolutely.
Our attorney was a black man. Everything was black. Our realtor was a black woman.
Bow.
It was a fully black production. It was black, bliggity black.
Bliggity black.
Black in there, baby. Yes.
Black excellence at its finest. All right, now, we want to take a quick break.
Yes.
That was a lot. But yes. I hope y'all got some quick tips and tricks.
Yes.
We're going to move into listener letters after this break. We're going to get into some ads.
During the break, let's quickly talk about a couple things that are important to most people I know. Comfort and style. Crocs classic clogs and sandals have both covered.
When I'm talking about style, I mean personal style. There are just so many colors and so many Jibbitz charms that you can add to the Crocs to make them unique. You can dress up your Crocs to match your mood, to match your personality, to fit the occasion, and you can change them up day to day.
I mean, ultimately, you can stand out from the crowd in a way that only you can, because it's your personal style. And now, let's talk about comfort. You know, it doesn't get better than Crocs, clogs, and sandals when it comes to being comfortable. Style and comfort are usually a trade-off, but here, they're a package deal. It's like you have cushions on your feet. Soft, stylish, personalized, colorful cushions.
That's right. So why wait? Head over to Crocs.com today and experience the comfort and style of Crocs classic clogs and sandals for yourself. Your feet will thank you.
Hey, what's good, y'all? I think it's important for you to understand why black representation in media is important. It's important because the media represents how people view us. And it's important that they understand that black people are not a monolithic people.
That is a fact. And the next generation of influential black voices can be found on NPR's new collection, Black Stories, Black Truths.
Black Stories, Black Truths is a celebration of blackness from NPR. Each of NPR's black voices are as distinct, varied, and nuanced as the black experience itself. Every episode is a living account about what it means to be black today, told from a unique black perspective. From Bobby Shmurda to The Wire, Michelle Obama to reparations, there's no limit to the range of black stories, black truths.
Black perspectives haven't always been centered in the telling of America's story. Now they are the story.
In NPR's Black Stories, Black Truths, you'll find a collection of some of NPR's best podcast episodes celebrating the black experience.
Listen now to Black Stories, Black Truths from NPR, wherever you get your podcasts. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Y'all, let me tell you, after the Love Against the World tour, my social battery is depleted, drained, no energy. How do you feel, babe?
I don't know. You know, it can be easy for people to ignore their social battery and spread themselves thin, especially with social gatherings picking up one after another in the wintertime.
That's a fact. What's the right amount of socializing for you? And how do you recharge after that? Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you need some more alone time like me.
You know what? Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery.
So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge.
Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/deadass today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp. HELP.com/deadass.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
All right, thank y'all for coming back.
Yes, thank you.
It's time for some listener letters.
Okay.
And these are quite lengthy.
Yes.
I love that I had asked in previous season for y'all to give us context. Now y'all giving us all y'all the giving context. Us a
lot. I like it though. I like it.
It's good though. So yes. We can at least give our opinions, okay? So number one, you guys are such an inspiration. I'd like to say thank you for extending yourselves the way that you do. Oh, thanks, sis. I say sis because she goes on to say, my husband and I have been together going on 9 years and now married for almost 6 months. We're both young, me being 25 and him 27.
Sheesh.
Drive trucks together, no children, no crazy overhead. Within the last year, we've paid off a car and gotten our first rental property.
Ooh.
How do you stay focused on your goals? Do you guys have any tips on how to be present and proud of your current accomplishments without feeling as if they aren't enough because you feel the finish line is still far out? Deval.
I knew he was going to say something. The minute you started reading this, I was like, oh,
listen, I'm
going
to tell you to celebrate the small things, okay? Big and small. It sometimes becomes a challenge for us because we don't have regular 9-to-5 jobs and aren't around family often. All while our peers are living their best lives. And we are considered boring because we just love to be around one another and enjoy things such as riding, looking at $1 million plus homes, cars, land, etc. I mean, that sounds like a great pastime for me.
I feel you. We used to do the same thing.
The same shit, all right? But that's just pure enjoyment for us because that's where we aspire to be and what we want out of life. Also, how do you find good mentors as yourselves? We didn't come from a financial literacy background or well-off families. So with us, just by passing milestones that either our parents have met.
That neither our parents have met.
We're working hard on ourselves and our overachievers. Though they're supportive, we both feel like they will. I'm sorry, I'm having a hard time today.
They are supportive, we both feel as if they will allow us to cut corners.
Okay, got you.
That was a long
one. Yeah, that was a long one. And Joan's calling me. Hi, Joan. Okay, so, sis, if you and your bae find joy in aspiring for things, dreaming about things, thinking about, almost obsessing over where you see yourself, you were not alone because that was Deval and I.
That's all we did.
And we still do it to this day. But I will say of the two of us, I'm the one that's always celebrating the moments that are happening as they're happening. Deval will book a role on a show and while that show is airing, be thinking about the role he does not have or the role he wants.
Yeah.
And that's just how you are. And I think that continues to be your motivation and continues to be your driving force. Whereas I tend to be the balance that says, but babe, you know, I just want to have you celebrate this moment because we are doing well where we are right now.
Yes.
You know, but never losing sight of the fact that we want those things. And I mean, if your friends are not into that as a hobby or as a pastime, that's okay too.
Right.
Let them be happy doing that. Y'all can be happy over here because that was Deval and I for a long time. And when people did not have the foresight to see the things that we saw when it came to even just creating content or doing the things that we wanted to do with our careers professionally, that did not deter us. We did have moments where we kind of felt like, damn, are we crazy for doing this? Because everyone's saying that we're crazy. Everyone's saying that we're doing too much. Everyone's saying that we're sharing too much. But we found joy in that. We found joy in that being our purpose. And here we are.
All I'm going to say to you, ma'am, is that there's a delusional quality that all successful people have. I say that all the time and I believe it. In order to see yourself, or in order to believe that you can do something, you have to see it first. Mm-hmm. If you see it for yourself and no one else sees it, that don't mean that it's not possible. That just means that they haven't seen it yet and they won't see it until you do it. So continue to manifest things and look at those million-dollar homes and buy bigger and buy better because that's what you want to do. All I ask is that you remember to pay it forward. Because like we talked about in an earlier episode, you have a duty to serve as a human. Mm-hmm. So as long as you continue to gain access to different things and get more resources, you have an obligation to continue to pay it forward. So as long as you pay it forward and you continue to grow and grow and grow, you'll be fine.
Oh, yeah.
And we talked about on another podcast, what you just choose to do or find fun with your spouse is your prerogative. You know, trying to serve too many guys or serve too many other people is going to be an issue for your relationship. If you and your husband enjoy looking at houses and riding together, then do that.
Yeah.
Because that's your life partner. You know what I'm saying? You can include those who want to do that. But keep doing it. Keep being great. Keep being happy. Keep buying off buying properties and paying off cars.
Right. Or buying Amazon packages. I see the UPS.
We in the living room right now, y'all. And I see the UPS truck. This UPS should be sweating coming here. He look at me in my eyes sometimes. He just be like.
That's UPS, FedEx, USPS.
It's a lot of them, man.
All right now. I love that. That was some great advice, though. Keep on keeping on, y'all.
Keep on keeping on, y'all. Y'all do what y'all got to do. All right.
That's a fact.
Mm-hmm. Let me start off by saying that I'm a big fan of the podcast, and I've been listening since the beginning. I'm a huge fan.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. I'm 25 years old, and my fiance is 27, and we just got engaged.
Congrats, guys.
We met each other in college and have been together for 6 years. The reason for my email is that I'm seeking advice on what to do next. The big question for us is whether to have a wedding or buy a house.
Ha, been there.
We've been there, literally.
Been there.
We are currently living in a one-bedroom apartment. My fiance has expressed that although we would love to have a wedding, we would like to move. Oh, he would like to move into a house in the next 2-3. I don't even got to read the rest of this. Let me tell y'all something. Okay.
Well, shoot. Let me skim the rest of it. Then go ahead.
Kadeen said to me in 2010 that she wanted to have the big wedding because she felt like she was going to get both. She felt like that. She felt like, I'll get the big wedding, I'll get the house. And she was right. Eventually, she got the house and she had the wedding.
Yep,
but this is the thing.
Situation here.
We got the wedding, and right after the wedding was done, she ain't care about the wedding.
We don't ever watch
the wedding videos. We barely look at the wedding pictures. We had 325 people at our wedding.
More or less.
We had 325 people at our wedding. We don't talk to none of them.
That's not true.
Okay.
We talk to a small percentage.
Listen, the whole big wedding thing, the whole platinum wedding thing is played out. All right, it's played out.
Unless, I'm gonna be honest now, but that's in retrospect after I've had that.
Unless you can afford it and you can do it within the means and you can enjoy yourself within the means, do not extend yourself and choose not to buy a house because you want to have a wedding. I don't need to read the rest of this to tell you, bro, ma'am, do not do it, son. We spent 10 years in an apartment.
You sound like Judge Joe Brown. We're like, ma'am. Ma'am.
I know a crackhead when I seen one, ma'am. You was a crackhead when you paid for that wedding, ma'am. You a crackhead now. Now you mad at your husband, ma'am, because he can't get you the house, ma'am, because you wanted the wedding. You have to deal with that, ma'am. That's what Judge Joe Brown would tell you.
Disclaimer, we're not calling you a crackhead. We're just making fun of Judge Joe Brown, but we love him.
No, Judge Mathis. Judge Mathis.
Judge
Mathis.
Okay, Judge Mathis. Okay.
But no, but seriously, like, we get so caught up in doing things for the gram.
What she said, am I holding on to that silly little girl for wanting this dream wedding and should we consider being financially responsible?
Be financially responsible. Don't be Kadeen.
And she said they won't be able to get married till 2023 if that's the case. So it's like, are you going to delay being married because you have to wait 2 years for the wedding?
Well, here's the thing. Though. Financial responsibility, it's time, dates, all that stuff don't matter. Like, it really don't matter. You have to make decisions with foresight. Mm-hmm. Some people rush to get married because the date is perfect. Mm-hmm. I got married in 7, 8, 9, 10. Like, what the fuck? Like, now you divorced in 7, 8, 9, 11. Like, nobody give a shit. Like, that's what, like, people need to have start having foresight and stop thinking surface level. You know what I'm saying? And when I say people, I mean us too.
Well, listen, Dean and I did that. To this one though, right? So we weren't able to have our vow renewal in 2020, well, July 4th of 2020. But if we had our vow renewal, would we have been able to get this house?
No, we wouldn't have. No, we wouldn't have.
So well, it depends to say,
if I could have turned it into a business. Well, but realistically,
we try to turn everything into a business.
But Kadeen spends money like it's a business. So we probably wouldn't have had the down payment for this house. And now look at her.
I'm just saying. But we have the house and I will have my vow renewal at some point next year.
Financial responsibility requires foresight.
Yes.
Use it. Trust me, you will feel better in the long run when you have years of happiness and stress-free living as opposed to 24 hours of the biggest party of your life.
I know.
Telling you, it sounds crazy.
And 25
crazy.
And 27, that was like literally us. We were 27 and 27.
Yes.
And sis, I have to say, as a big sis, what I would advise my sister to do is to get that stability financially.
Yes.
You can always have a party.
Yes, you have a party. You can have a big party later.
Yeah, we were going to do a 10-year vow renewal. We made and it's COVID.
It's COVID, yo. That's you can't do too. Nothing with COVID. You're going to be masked up. You're going to look at these pictures now. They're going to go back in time. Look at these pictures. Everybody's going to be like this. And you're going to be like, why did we rush to have this big ass party?
Everyone's in a mask. I got to ask Josh, what's that been like, Josh? Like, you know, filming weddings.
Get a crib.
Capturing weddings.
Get a crib. Build some equity.
Yeah.
So that you can live the rest of your life the way you want to, as opposed to living the rest of your life the way you have to because you spent money on a stupid ass party. Period.
You sound like you have some resentment built up in you. But anyway, that's a discussion
for another day. We worked our way out of it. But I'm still a little like, I got a little PTSD. Like
he
when
does
I think,
have a little twitch when he thinks about it.
We could have owned a brownstone. We could have owned a brownstone in Brooklyn right now with
Mr.
that money.
Mr. Dwan, dig up the dirt.
I could have had $2 million of equity right now on a $250,000 purchase if it wasn't for this beautiful person to my left right here. Who said to me, I don't really want a house right now. I don't mind staying in an apartment here. I don't mind staying here. I love it. Came back from the honeymoon. She's like, I hate it here. I hate it.
I was like, what? I was like, wait a second. So the house is not coming after the wedding, is it?
So, and this was crazy. Y'all tried to kill me.
We didn't get no gifts.
Y'all tried to kill me for my pressure comment. Y'all tried to kill me for my pressure comment.
Oh, y'all killed the poor
baby. But y'all don't know what I have been through. Trying to provide the type of life that this woman says she want, only for her to be like, I was stupid for saying that back then.
That sure
but
was.
But y'all killed me. But you know what? I'm going to take it. I'm going to take the killing.
Take it, baby.
Because I'm speaking my truth.
And you cute while you do it. Look at you.
Don't.
You ain't even sweating no more. These conversations used to make him sweat. Look, I used to
be about to pass out having this conversation about this house.
Come here. Do I have to dot? Let me dot your forehead. Okay. All right. There you go. He is a little shiny right there. But you don't sweat the way you used to sweat.
I used to get stressed out thinking about it, but I don't.
You know,
no
exactly. We're in a good place now with this.
Yes.
All right.
Tell that to yourself. You owe me a brownstone in Brooklyn.
You got a moment of truth or what? First of all.
Moment of truth. Don't let your wife talk you out of buying a brownstone to have a wedding.
Done and done. Moment of truth, girl. Financial stability over the wedding. I'm telling you that as a big sister, okay? Nah. But get the wedding one day, though.
Wedding was fun. I ain't gonna lie, it was fun.
But yeah, if you'd like to be featured as one of our listener letters and send us a whole blur with lots of context, please do. Email us at deadassadvice@gmail.com.
That's deadassadvice at gmail.com.
All right. Sounds good. All right. Well, we gave our moments of truth. They were kind of funny, but you want to say something else? Okay, that's such a moment of truth. All right, my bad.
My real moment of truth, though, my real moment of truth is that the American dream is ownership. It's not working. Ownership. Own land, own property. You can pass it down. Mm-hmm. Your kids, your grandkids, grandkids, grandkids will appreciate you more if you get a piece of property and you own it.
And my moment of truth with that ownership comes education. So the things that we are working for and we are busting our ass for right now for our children to create this legacy, be sure to educate them so they can continue to grow that legacy for years to come. Because the worst thing is busting your ass for something and somebody pissing it away.
Look at you.
That ain't about to happen.
Man, where the education reside.
Where the education reside in the Ellis household. I know that.
That's my baby.
And that's when Mary had a little lamb. Be sure to follow us, find us on social media, Deadass the Podcast. And of course, I'm Kadeen. I am.
And I am DeVal. And if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, be sure to rate, review, and subscribe to your boy and your girl. All right. We love y'all. We appreciate y'all. Deadass is back. Y'all see us.
Where does this Deadass reside? Deadass resides right here
in the crib. Peace.
Deadass is a production of iHeartMedia Podcast Network and is produced by Denora Pena and Tribble. Follow the podcast on social media at Deadass the Podcast and never miss a thing.
You know that I feel like it's important to express yourself. You got to put your true self out there. And those classic Crocs, clogs, and sandals let you do that.
That's right. Between the rainbow of colors and the Jibbitz charms, you can create a unique look. And I mean literally, no one else will have shoes exactly like yours.
Hey, you know it doesn't get any more comfortable than the Croc clogs and sandals. They are just the perfect blend of comfort and creativity.
Visit Crocs.com to explore the latest styles and Jibbitz charms.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference.
That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule.
It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.
There's two kinds of people in the world. People who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today. Health Aid kombucha.
Hello there. I'm Ann Thompson, editor at large for IndieWire.
And I'm IndieWire's deputy film editor, Ryan Latanzio.
And we're the co-hosts of IndieWire's weekly Screen Talk podcast.
Join us each week for an in-depth discussion of the latest in film and TV industry news with special guests along the way, including filmmakers and executives.
Hear from us every Friday morning on iHeart platforms or wherever you get your podcasts as IndieWire shares what we've learned from the movie week that was.